Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So just a few notes before I begin. Today's class was actually scheduled for our esteemed visitor, Madhava Govinda Prabhu, but he has some physical problem. Voice, I think, is not working properly, so he has decided that he wouldn't be able to give the class. So I think it's Krishna's arrangement, because today's is the anniversary of, I think it's the 45th anniversary of the day when Prabhupada ordered us to produce 17 volumes in 2 months, right here in New York. It happened on Venice Beach. And since I was part of that team, I guess Krishna wants me to say a few words about it. So I think it's Krishna's arrangement. Okay, so we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in chapter 16. And text number 3, right? Okay, and the chapter is entitled, How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. And please be mindful, I say this regularly, but you know, we recite the Sanskrit verses every day. We have the transliterated form, so we don't have to read the Devanagari. But we should be mindful of the long vowels and short vowels. Basically, that's all you have to be mindful of. Everything else tends to flow nicely. So today's verse is full of long vowels and short vowels. Long A, short A. So like the first word is Ajaharashva, not Ajahar, which is our natural tendency. We say Ajaha, but it's not. The first long is long, not the second one. So it's Ajaharashva, okay? Ajaharashva. Medangs. Chreen. Gangayam. Puri. Dakshinan. Sharadattvam. Kurum. Kritva. Deva. Yatrakshi. Gocharaha. And again, this is another one that we have problems with. When the H with the dot under it is on the end, and it's just short A, it's aha. But if it's a long A, it's aha. We still say aha, even if it's a long A. So that's another one to watch out for. So, Ajaharashvamedangstrin. Gangayang Puridakshinan. Sharadvatam gurum kritva deva yatrakshi gocharaha. See, it's not aha, it's aha. I just said that and you're still doing it. Gocharaha. Forget the H. If you just saw G-O-C-A-R, long A, you'd say gochara, right? Right. But with the H, it's gocharaha. Okay. Ajaharashamedangstrin. Gangayang Puridakshinan. Sharadvatangurung Kritva. Deva Yatrakshi Gocharaha. Ajaharashamedangstrin. Gangayang Puridakshinan. Sharadvatangurung Kritva. Deva Yatrakshi Gocharaha. Ajaharashamedangstrin. Gangayang Puridakshinan. Sharadattvam gurum kritva. Deva yatrakshi gocharaha. Ajaharashvamedangstrin. Gangayang Puridakshinan. Sharadattvam gurum kritva. Deva yatrakshi gocharaha. Ajaharashvamedangstrin.
Hara Shamedang Srin Gangayang Puri Dakshinan Sharadvatang Gurung Kritva Devayatrakshigoshara Ajahara Shamedang Srin Gangayang Puri Dakshinan Sharadvatang Gurung Kritva Devayatrakshigoshara. Vaishnavis, Ajahara Shamedang Srin Gangayang Puri Dakshinan Sharadvatang Gurung Kritva Devayatrakshi Gocharaha Ajahara Shamedang Srin Gangayang Puri Dakshinan Sharadvatang Gurung Kritva Devayatrakshi Gocharaha. Okay, synonyms. Ajahara. Performed. Ashwamedhan. Horse sacrifices. Trin. Three. Gangayam. The bank of the Ganges. Puri. Sufficiently. Dakshinan. Rewards. Sharadvatam. Unto Kripacharya. Gurum, spiritual master. Kritva, having selected. Devaha, the demigods. Yatra, wherein. Akshi, eyes. Gocharaha, within the purview. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Maharaja Parikshit, after having selected Kripacharya for guidance as his spiritual master, performed three horse sacrifices on the banks of the Ganges. These were executed with sufficient rewards for the attendants. And at these sacrifices, even the common man could see demigods. Please repeat. Maharaja Parikshit, after having selected Kripacharya for guidance as his spiritual master, performed three horse sacrifices on the banks of the Ganges. These were executed with sufficient rewards for the attendants. And at these sacrifices, even the common man could see the demigods. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It appears from this verse that interplanetary travel by the denizens of higher planets is easy. In many statements in Bhagavatam, we have observed that the demigods from heaven used to visit this earth to attend sacrifices performed by influential kings and emperors. Herein also we find that during the time of the horse sacrifice ceremony of Maharaj Parikshit, the demigods from other planets were visible even to the common man due to the sacrificial ceremony. The demigods are not generally visible to common men, as the Lord is not visible, but as the Lord, by His causeless mercy, descends to be visible to the common man, similarly, the demigods also become visible to the common man by their own grace. Although celestial beings were not visible to the naked eyes of the inhabitants of this earth, it was due to the influence of Maharaja Parikshit that the demigods also agreed to be visible. The kings used to spend lavishly during such sacrifices, as a cloud distributes rains. A cloud is nothing but another form of water, or in other words, the waters of the earth transform into clouds. Similarly, the charity made by the kings in such sacrifices are but another form of the taxes collected from the citizens. But as the rains fall down very lavishly and appear to be more than necessary, the charity made by such kings also seems to be more than what the citizens need. The citizen needs. Satisfied citizens will never organize agitation against the king, and thus there was no need in changing the monarchical state. Even for a king like Maharaja Parikshit, there was need of a spiritual master for guidance. Without such guidance, one cannot make progress in spiritual life. The spiritual master must be bona fide, and one who wants to have self-realization must approach and take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master to achieve real success. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatade Sharane Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavang Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savaduktam Srijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindabaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Ancho Kopaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavane Pyo Paisave Pyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So again, we're very sad that we didn't get to hear from our esteemed visitor. Your base is? Where is your base? Yeah, but we're in New Zealand. North Island, South Island? Okay, Dunedin. Okay. So, New Zealand is celebrated as a very beautiful country. Very amazing nature, actually. North Island, there's a vast plain with three prominent volcanoes and the whole coastline is just, from a material point of view, very interesting, rugged. But like everywhere else on this planet, it's basically just a killing field. The Europeans went and they displaced the native Maoris and they built wonderful cities like Wellington, Christchurch, and Auckland. But it doesn't change the nature of the place. This material world, entire place, is Dukalaya Mashashvatam, Krishna says. But we tend to put that in the background and we're trying like anything to enjoy. And lo and behold, especially for those who are not enlightened into the nature of spiritual matters, their enjoyment is based on killing. They're very proud of the vast opportunities that New Zealand presents, but it's based on killing. They kill the seafood, the animals in the ocean, and they call it seafood. They kill the animals on the land. They're famous for having so many millions of sheep, more sheep than people. But what do they do with those sheep? Yes, they take their wool, but they also kill them, and they export the meat all over the world. So their enjoyment is based on the pain of others, pain and suffering of others. So naturally, as we've said many times, not we've said, the Bhagavatam says, that karma, don't forget about karma. Whatever you do produces some effect, good or bad, that you're going to have to enjoy or suffer in the future. So if you make your living off the suffering of so many millions, countless millions of creatures from the ocean, from the land, then don't be surprised when that pain and suffering is visited upon the human being. Because the human beings, with their developed consciousness, are supposed to know better. They're supposed to be mindful. Just like this tomorrow, downtown, there is a big festival. They call it Disclosure Fest. And they're going to have a mass meditation initiative at 2 o'clock, celebrating the summer solstice. It's celebrated or promoted as a festival of mindfulness, mindful yoga, music, healing arts, like that. So there are some personalities, some human beings who are a little bit mindful. They want to know what is What is this all about? Where did it come from? What am I supposed to do with my life? Unfortunately, quite often they're simply exploited by personalities who put on these kind of festivals. The aim is really to make money. I know personally some of these people who are promoting these festivals, and they're not interested necessarily in sending people back to home, back to Godhead. They're looking for the green. Come, yes, we have the best vegan food. $5 for a vegan burger, or $12 at such a festival, I'm sure, not just $5. And we have the best hemp clothing. $50 for yoga pants. Like that. So it's all about the money. It's all about the money. But Srila Prabhupada brought the real disclosure fest to disclose to us who is God. Like he was so proud of little Saraswati, she would ask anybody, do you know who Krishna is? No. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's it. Prabhupada said, preaching finished. Must. So that's all we need to do. We need to go out into this, wherever we are, in New Zealand, Los Angeles, and just give that simple message to people. There is a Supreme Person. His name is Krishna. Preaching over. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, it is said, used to encourage his sannyasis to go out and visit at least 3 homes every day, knock on 3 doors. And he told them, even if the people are not interested, just by seeing you, they have made progress. At least that day, they've seen a saintly person. So they've made some progress in their life. So we're meant to do that also, to go out every day. Like we have our Sankirtan devotees dedicated, go out every day. Book table on the pier, or on the, tomorrow you're going downtown, right, to this disclosure fest, dear. Yeah, dear is going to the disclosure fest, set up a table. And so even if people don't buy the book, he's successful. Just by sitting at the table and displaying all the BBT books there, they see Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. Just by seeing those covers, they're making progress. Prabhupada said, if they touch a book, if they read even one line, even one word, as Sura likes to say, soon they'll be living in a temple eating sabji with curd. So this is our business. Our family business is to produce these books and then take them out in the public and distribute them. And even if people don't buy them, just by seeing them and seeing the person, the saintly person sitting behind the book table, they make progress. So we should not be shy. They're not shy about promoting their version of yoga. See, every corner now there's a yoga studio. Come, stretch the body, and like that. So our form of yoga is bhakti yoga. So we should not be shy about promoting our form of yoga. This is genuine. It's the topmost rung of the yoga ladder. Yes, the hatha yoga is there, dhyana yoga, so many yogas Krishna describes in 6th chapter. But the topmost, yoginam api sarvesham, madgatinantaratmana, Krishna says, the topmost rung of the yoga ladder is bhakti yoga. So as practitioners of bhakti yoga, we should not be shy about promoting that. And what is this bhakti, people may ask you? Prabhupada translated, loving devotional service. Everybody is into love. I guarantee you that word is going to be flying in the air tomorrow at the school. Everybody's love, everybody embrace, I love you, I love you, I love you. Until you step on my toes and then... This is Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel. No matter how much they promote love, 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 at the slightest agitation, I slap you, you stab me, like that. It just escalates until killing happens. And again, because they're mindlessly killed. Now, these people tomorrow, most of them, if not all of them, they're vegan. That's another thing they promote, veganism. We're not vegan. We're not, as you'll hear in a purport coming up in this chapter, Prabhupada strongly says, if you give us milk, fruit, grains, we can produce so many preparations to attract people away from meat eating. But not just milk, fruit, grains, but offer to Krishna. See, a lot of these people, they're very mindful. They have come to the point where they see that it's horrible to kill the animals, so they've all gone vegan. But they go to their vegan restaurant and they just order it. They don't realize that every grain that went into this vegan tortilla, it came from a living entity and it belongs to Krishna. If you don't offer to Krishna, then just by chowing down on your vegan tortilla, you're still getting sinful reaction. Krishna says that. That those who are devotees, they're excused, they're relieved from any sinful reaction because they offer what they eat in sacrifice before they eat it. Those who eat only for the satisfaction of the tongue, Krishna says, not we say, verily eat only sin. So you may be big, big vegan, but if you don't offer that vegan tortilla before you eat it, you're eating sin. And you're going to get reaction. Just like the guy who was eating meat. Not as heavy. The heaviest reaction is for eating mother cow. For every hair on the body of the cow, you have to take 1,000 births and be slaughtered. And a cow is a very hairy animal. So somebody who's implicated in the killing of the cow, and there are 6 personalities involved in the killing of the cow, of the getting the reaction for the killing of the cow. Those who raise the cow for slaughter, those who transport it for slaughter, those who actually slaughter it, those who sell the meat, those who cook the meat, and then the one that eats the meat. All 6 get reaction for the death of that cow. So by going out and preaching not just veganism, by having higher taste, yes, you're going to have higher taste on your book table tomorrow, by having higher taste on the book table and getting them to begin to understand that we're not just into vegan, vegetarian, we're Krishnatarians. We're promoting Krishnatarianism. Whatever you eat, Krishna says, at karoshi yadashnasi, yachahosi tadasi yat. Whatever you eat, whatever you do, whatever you offer, give in charity. Do it as an offering for me, Krishna says. If we just learn that simple formula, then we relieve ourselves of so much pain and suffering. Personally, individually, and collectively. So again, it is our duty to go out and give this knowledge to the public. And this is why Srila Prabhupada came. And Srila Prabhupada understood, and the example was already set by his spiritual master, by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that when you produce this knowledge, because previously this knowledge was handed down orally, as we know, from previous ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, even up to Dwapara Yuga, most people were Shrutidhar. Shrutidhar means one who hears something and remembers for life. Hears and remembers for life. But in Kali Yuga, that's not the case. Everything, including that ability, has gone way down. Tatasya nunam dharma satyam socham shamadaya. Kalena palina rajan. Nangshatyahu valang smritihi. These things all decrease in Kali Yuga. Satyam, truthfulness, socham, cleanliness, shama, tolerance, peacefulness, daya, mercy. And why is all this going down? Kalina balinara, just by the strength of Kali, just like we're here now, we're in this chapter, how Parikshit received the age of Kali. He knew what was coming. So from the very first sign, he was ready to kill Kali personified. Because he knows that in this age, all the finer sentiments of human beings disappear. There is no mercy anymore. Prabhupada said when he came here, he noticed that somebody could be killed in front of another person. They just keep going. It's not my business. No mercy. No, and no tolerance. Can't tolerate even a slight insult. Even a subtle so-called disrespect. You know, I grew up in New York, and if you look at somebody the wrong way, why are you looking at me like that? Who do you think you are? I'll cut you. They threaten you right away, just from a look. No tolerance of any disrespect. But they themselves are not respectful. They don't even know what respect means. How to respect, first of all, the brahmanas. Go brahmana trayacha. Krishna is himself very respectful to the brahmanas and personally takes care of the cows. So how much pain and aggrieved is the Lord when we disrespect a brahmana or when we kill a cow? So we cannot satisfy the Lord in that way, by being disrespectful to brahmanas in brahminical culture and by killing cows. One can never satisfy the Lord. Never. Go brahmana hitayacha. Jagadhitaya krishna govindaya namo namaha. So Prabhupada came to give us this knowledge. First of all, to try his best to create brahmanas. And it can be done, despite what so many so-called traditional spiritualists in India say. It can be done. It's stated
Sanatana Goswami especially stated, Ita kanchanati, that hangsam rasabhidanita, tata dikshabhidanina, bijatam jayatirinanam, that just as bell metal can be transformed into gold by an alchemical process, similarly, by instructions from a bona fide spiritual master, even the lowest born can be transformed into a brahmana. You just have to follow. Discipline has to be instilled. Prabhupada said there's no meaning to the word disciple without discipline. It's not that you can become a disciple and then do whatever you want. There has to be discipline. One has to be trained. Discipline. How to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. What to do, what not to do. So Prabhupada came, and understanding that you can't have this knowledge disseminated just by word of mouth in this age, there has to be books. So therefore Prabhupada, on the order of his spiritual master, dedicated himself to translating and pushed us to produce the books and distribute the books. So if there are any questions on the verse and purport, I'll entertain them now, and then I'll leave a little time just to recount. Most of you know the story anyway, but I'll just recount, since today's the anniversary, I'll recount that incident, that particular wonderful event that I happen to have the good fortune to be a part of. So any questions on today's verse and purport? Okay. So in 1975, Srila Prabhupada had gotten so far ahead in translation. What Prabhupada would do, as you know, right up here and wherever he traveled, he would dictate whatever book he was translating. He would dictate translation, synonyms, purport, and then that tape, in the beginning it was reel-to-reel tapes. The tape would be sent and it would be put on a different machine, and somebody would listen to Prabhupada speaking and type what they heard. Now, being Westerners, non-Indians, and being pretty neophyte, a lot of mistakes were made at that point, at the transcription point. A very famous one that I like to point out. Once Prabhupada was walking, I think it was right here in Venice Beach, and the devotees, they wanted to hear Prabhupada speaking, so they would get very near. Actually, a couple of times, devotees actually stepped on Prabhupada's heel. So, can you imagine? Stepping on Srila Prabhupada's heel out of your eagerness. So Prabhupada said, don't come near. Very clearly. I mean, I understand Prabhupada's voice. I heard it when I heard the actual tape. But the person who was transcribing wrote, don't come here. Which doesn't make any sense. Don't come here. That's what they thought they heard, so that's what they transcribed. Don't come here. But Prabhupada said, don't come near. In other words, don't come too near. Because there's a tendency of, you know, you have to give anybody space. What to speak of Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada, give him his space. So Prabhupada said, don't come near. But the transcriber wrote, don't come here. Big difference. So like that, many, many such mistakes were made. So then the transcribed manuscript had to be edited. Somebody had to go through and try to find all the errors. It's not that the person was so elevated genius that they typed exactly what Prabhupada said. No. So this is where editing began. The manuscript of the transcription had to be edited. So, for accuracy, to make sure they... But even the editors themselves were not, you know, necessarily on the highest platform. So they made mistakes. So in this way, Prabhupada's books were somehow or other produced. But we were falling behind. So Prabhupada came here in 75. I was here. We were shipped out, because previously we were ISKCON Press in New York. I was just in New York, as you know, for Rath Yatra. So Prabhupada picked me up off the street, 3 blocks from where the current temple is. But when I joined, the temple was Henry Street. And then a couple of blocks away from the Henry Street temple, we on Tiffany Place, Omkar knows, she was there also. We had, and Mother Balai, she's not here, but she was part of the team also. We had ISKCON Press. So in spring of 75, ISKCON Press was shut down and all the press devotees were sent to New Dwarka. And the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust was established. And the BBT building was the one where the Dr. Bhutta's office is now, right behind the current BBT building. So Prabhupada came and he said, why aren't you
producing my books, you're so far behind. He said, I'm not going to do any more translation until you catch up. So it was calculated that in order to catch up to Prabhupada, we had to produce 17 volumes. But Prabhupada said, I'm not doing any more, and I want those 17 volumes in 2 months. So the statement was made during a morning walk, and Rameshwar Prabhu and Radhabalabha Prabhu, they were the BBT managers at the time. So they were shocked. And Prabhupada restated, I want these 17 volumes in 2 months. But so Rameshwar made that famous mistake. He said, Prabhupada, that's impossible. And what did Prabhupada say? Everybody knows. Yes, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So then they realized that Prabhupada was serious. So they fell back. It was a morning walk. So they fell back and they discussed amongst themselves. And then they came back to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we think we can do it. And Prabhupada was satisfied. So they made this plan of working around the clock. Because previously, we were producing one volume every 2 months. Now, Prabhupada wanted 17 volumes in 2 months. 15 volumes of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and 2 volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was a brahmachari at the time. Upstairs where the store is now, the gift shop, that was a brahmachari ashram, that entire floor. And there were so many of us brahmacharis, we were sleeping like sardines. So my duty, my service at the time was running the typesetting equipment. If you've seen that movie, Brilliant as a Sun, Yadavar Prabhu and his wife made that movie, showing how the production took place. Proper dictating and then the transcription. And then the transcribers would hand me a cassette at that point, because we had that's how I got involved in the BBT, in ISKCON Press, because I had learned computers in college, university. And so they brought me in to assist with the computerization. What's that? Of the book production. So they would hand me this cassette, and then I would use it to drive the computerized typesetting equipment. You can see that in that movie. So I had to get on a very, very tight schedule. I would go to bed, take rest about 10, 10:30, get up at 3 o'clock, shower, have half my runs done before Mangal Arati, and then after Mangal Arati, finish the other half, and then pretty much we would just go over to the BBT and stay there all day. They would bring our meals, or we'd take a little break. And so in this way, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sukhmini Dwarkadish, those 17 volumes were produced. And Srila Prabhupada was very, very pleased. And so he gave his blessings to everybody who participated in that marathon. And it's simply by those blessings that I'm still here. Yes, Srila Prabhupada is very, very pleased. He's merciful to all of his disciples and followers, but he was particularly pleased that we had caught up and that encouraged him to go on. Because Srila Prabhupada, as you know, was very, very disciplined. Wherever he went, no matter, you know, we talk about jet lag, and his Prabhupada never, you know, those words never came out of Prabhupada's mouth. Wherever he went, he immediately went into his routine. Get up at a certain time, give the morning class, go for a walk. All of the routine would just continue wherever he went, no matter if it was halfway around the world. Sometimes we travel and we need 3 days to recover. Not Prabhupada. He would land, come to the temple, and give a little address to the devotees when he arrived, and then after that he would just fall into his routine. So we can learn from Prabhupada. Why is that possible? Because we struggle because we're still thinking that we're these bodies. Still think, and to think that you're this body is animal consciousness. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatake. Sadik kalatradishu poma ijadi. Yatirta buddhi shalila nakarishit. Janeshu abhigeshu sa eva gokara. Anyone who's thinking that he's this body. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatake. This body is a bag of skin full with mucus, air, and bile. So if you think that you're this body, you're no better than cow or ass. And who spoke this verse? No. Krishna. Lord Krishna spoke this verse. He spoke this verse saying that, taking the humble position that we're householders, he said, and this is our mentality.
We're thinking that we're this body. And we're thinking that the land of our birth is worshipable. India, America, New Zealand, wherever we're from, we're thinking this is worshipable land. Why? Because I was born there. That makes it worshipable. Yeah. And then, Yatirta Bodhishalila Nakarichit. And then even if we become a little religious, we think that religiosity means going to a sacred river and taking a bath. Yatirta Bodhishalila. We think if we, and Prabhupada made fun of them. He said, they're living in Calcutta, which is right on the bank of the Ganges, but they will spend money and so much trouble to go to Hardwar to take bath in the Ganges. The Ganges is the same wherever. The potency is there. It's not that it's more potent in Hardwar than it is in... No. Ganges can never be contaminated. And it is purifying wherever it flows, whether it's Gangotri down to the Bay of Bengal. Wherever the Ganges flows, it purifies. But foolish people again, because they're not in very high consciousness. They're thinking, I am living in Calcutta, let me make a pilgrimage to Hardwar or Rishikesh. And what do they do when they go there? They take bath in the Ganges and then they go home. So we should know better. The real reason for going to a place of pilgrimage is to take shelter of the sages and saintly persons who live there, to hear from them, to understand what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. So Prabhupada also stated that the normal course of things is that if you are serious, tadbhigyanartam sagurum eva bikachit, then you must find a guru, just like in today's verse, it's mentioned that Parikshit accepted Kripacharya as his guide, guru, spiritual master. So Prabhupada said, those who are serious are supposed to go out and look for a guru. But in Kali Yuga, nobody's serious. Therefore, the guru has to come to you and beg you, please chant Hare Krishna. Please read Srimad Bhagavatam. Please read the Bhagavad Gita. So that's what Prabhupada did. He's Jagat Guru. He was sitting comfortably in Vrindavan, living next to Rupa Goswami Samadhi. But understanding the age of Kali, he voluntarily went through so much difficulty to come to us and beg us to chant Hare Krishna. So the very least we can do is chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hai. Jai, Granthrachimid Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.